Alright, this is JT. We're back once again. I appreciate y'all for keeping up. And I have somebody I've known for quite a while. He's got a couple stories that I'm going to resurface here. We've already put them online, so it ain't like I'm going to ambush him with anything. It's just I want to make sure we have them in audio. Because it's one of my favorite stories. But we'll get to that one in a minute. First,
oh gosh,
how you doing, Steven?
Yeah, good.
We're out here. This is the second race. That's May 21st, 2021. Second race, Virginia Motorsports Park. And so how you been? So how's your bike running? You get some testing in?
So the first race at Maryland, I struggled. You know, they had a couple rule changes in Real Street. That's all I'm running this year again. And, you know, it is what it is. That's what has to be done to keep the class, you know, competitive and close in parity. So we just struggled at the first race. So I tested last night here. I got a lot of help from my boys, my teammates, you know, Dustin, Spencer, everybody. Eric couldn't make it down in time last night, so he was super tuning from the road via phone.
Oh, wow.
And the funny thing about Eric is when he puts your tune-up in and chuckles, you know, you might go for a ride. So I was a little skeptical yesterday, but we had some fun and figured out some stuff. And like I said, Dustin helped me out a lot because he wasn't testing yesterday, which is rare. Dustin's always testing. And it's just crazy. It's one of those things where basically in the last 24 hours, we just, you know, figured out, talked to Cole at LKG Suspension, and it's just crazy because literally my suspension was just totally out of whack. But from where it was to last year, we didn't really change anything. So that's just racing. That's how it goes. So, you know, it's not something we looked at the first race, but we got it rectified now. And I just laid down a really good test pass, so I'm pretty stoked right now.
Now, anybody that unfortunately has not got to come to drag racing, most of the people in motorsports are, your bike has a very distinct sound. Yeah. I can be on the other side of this track, and when you're going down the track, I did it yesterday. I was like, "There goes Ben."
Yeah.
Why such a distinct sound on that particular motorbike?
So my bike is so distinct because it has Zumi style exhaust. So what it is basically the two exhausts exit on the left side, and then two exit on the right. So it sounds like a Harley, a V-twin or something, because you know the cylinders are pulsating, and most exhausts they'll all merge together. So you have all four cylinders merging together. You know, it's kind of got that high pitch. My bike doesn't have that, and honestly, the only other bikes I've ever seen or heard of that. There's a couple Grudge bikes that kind of run Zumi styles. A Gauge runs in Pro Street runs like a bullhorn style. Yeah. He has the two merged together, so in the one off each side, but mine are just two and two on each side, and it's loud. I mean, I had to get custom-made earplugs to wear while I ride. I mean, I've never worn earplugs.
I know when I'm shooting you up there, even when I'm doing the nose shots. It's got that. It's just that deep. It's almost like the Nitro Harley. It has that deep throttle to it.
Well, that's what it is. It sounds like a V-twin or a busted up sport bike.
and that's why you go with that particular.
So all right. So the reason not to get too deep in the rules of Real Street, if people don't know about it, but you know, Real Street's the class below Pro Street, and basically, the big difference is it's supposed to be more street bike like. So there's even more, or there's more restrictive rules.
Okay.
So, long story short, every combination has what they call component weight. So since I'm running a supercharger, my supercharger and the associated parts that connect to it and exhaust is included, they can't weigh over 35 pounds.
Okay.
So at first, I thought the Zumis were cool, and I do think they're cool. They're just completely loud, ridiculously loud. That's why I wear earplugs now. But honestly, when Eric got done building everything, because Eric at DAS Performance built my bike and he tunes it, we were so close to the component weight. I mean, I think we were like 34 pounds. So we had a pound to play with, and we couldn't put a full exhaust on the thing if we wanted to. So,
oh, okay.
And what they call the component weights, it's 35 pounds for a supercharger, turbo bike, nitrous bikes, and all motors, their exhaust, since they don't have that big heavy, you know, turbo or blower hanging up front, they have a maximum 15 pound exhaust. That way they don't fabricate like a 30 pound exhaust and use ballast and keep the front end down. So that's why they have component weights in place. But yeah, it's kind of long story short, that's kind of how we ended up with Zumis. At first I thought they were cool. Eric tried it 2 years ago on his Pro Street bike, and it was ridiculously loud on the two-step, and they took them all. So said, let me get them used Zumis. And then when I heard it, I was like, man, I don't know if I can ride this thing. But it worked out because, like I said, I had to have them.
Oh, wow.
Now, I told everybody in the class, if they want to give me 5 more pounds of component weight, then I'll put a full exhaust on it. I don't think anybody wants to do that.
They're willing just to listen to you, right?
Yeah. I think everybody in the class is more used to it now, but like, if I'm testing out here, actually, I think it was Destiny Spurlock at Maryland last race. Like, we were just testing, you know, and she was on her super stock bike. That thing's quiet, you know? And she came bending up to me after the pass, and she's like, oh, my God. She's like, that bike. And she's like, I couldn't even stay. She's like, I just let you take off, you know, because we were testing. She's like, and then I went down the track. I was like, it's loud. So
now, have you had the racers when you're paired up against somebody? So have you had a racer say it affects them in the past, or most of them are just so focused it doesn't matter?
Nah, I mean, I think most of us are just so in the zone, especially in real street. I mean, the real street class, but most of the bikes are semi-loud, you know. Yeah. Like I said, it's not like where Destiny was on her super sport bike. It has a full exhaust, you know, basically a street-ridden bike. You know, it was real loud compared to hers, but, you know, and then if you race an all-motor bike in real street, they're allowed to be, or they use a two-step usually, so. Nobody's told me it's affected them. They probably wouldn't tell us anyways. The real street class is kind of cutthroat. It's become known as the shit talker class. It's kind of what makes it fun. Can I curse on here?
Yep, okay. Sure can. All I got to do is hit a checkbox. It says language.
All right, well, I'll try not to drop anything too bad. I'm like a sailor or something.
You're good. So Corey dropped one the other day. I said, don't worry about it. I just hit the checkbox. So we'll be good.
So yeah.
Now, when... go back, because obviously your brother races too.
Both
very good. You've been in winter circles. I've taken your picture numerous times. You are clearly at the top end of the racer list. But when did you start racing? How long ago has it been?
Me and my brother, we're like a lot of people. We grew up at the racetrack. We were, you know, we'd go to the drag strip with our dad, you know, not every weekend, but, you know, when we could. You know, my dad has his own business. He started his own business, you know, grew it, became really successful. But, you know, he always had the motto, you know, play when you can and when you can afford it. So it wasn't often, but we would go to the drag strip, and he had a drag car, and we loved doing that. And then my uncle, he dirt track raced, and we'd go watch him. So if we weren't racing, which, you know, was maybe once a month, I'll call it, with him, when we were younger, we'd always go watch my uncle. And I will tell anybody, I think the most exciting and best form of motorsports to watch, in my opinion, is a dirt track race. Yep. You know, go to a Saturday night, Friday, whatever, whenever they're running your local dirt track race, that stuff is so awesome to watch. I mean, it's the best entertainment you can buy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, you watch the fights break out in there, but I'm getting off track. So long story short, we grew up at the racetrack, and I started racing cars a little bit, mm-hmm. You know, when I was in my late teens, racing our drag cars. And I just remember my local track when we grew up was Eastside Speedway in Waynesboro, Virginia.
Okay.
And what's so funny about that, come full circle, I mean, I remember being as a kid and we'd watch the motorcycle guys and we're like, damn, they're crazy. You know, those guys are just crazy. What's wrong with them? And there's quite a few big names from XDA that raced there. And, you know, back then, I didn't know. I wasn't into bikes either. And I just thought they were bad shit crazy. I mean, who would ride a bike like that? So wasn't into bikes at all, you know, watched those guys. And some of the guys I'm talking to are like Jimmy Shiflett and Travis Wood. I mean, I don't think he's racing much now, but his son is. And, man, Travis, he always had grudge bikes at our local track. And, I mean, it probably wasn't a place for him, but I've seen that man ride a wheelie the whole track. I mean, it was crazy. That's probably where I got the crazy. So fast forward, you know, I was older, out of school and everything, and working down at Bristol Motor Speedway, and I ran basically the drag strip. And the only thing I didn't have to work at the drag strip were the bracket races, because they were kind of rented out.
Okay.
So I would try and go, because I'm a bracket racer, you know, always have been, and that's what I love, but I'd try and go to the local bracket races, and I mean, I'd race my pickup truck. So anyhow, one of the guys was like, hey, you know, we've seen you have a Harley, come race that. I was like, it's a Harley Sportster 883. Like, it's slow as shit, like, really slow. But, I mean, I'm like, all right, I'll give it a try. So I tried it. Well, here you are, you know, riding a Harley. Harleys are kind of loud. No, not when you got a sport bike zooming by you, you know, with a Sidewinder. I mean, like, you couldn't hear it. I didn't have a tack. I had no clue. I did it one time. I was like, I'll never do it again. I was running 60 miles an hour and 8 miles. Terrible.
Oh, my God.
So that guy in particular, name you've heard before, and mm-hmm. talked about on Dustin's podcast, Uncle Jerry.
Yeah.
So Jerry Turner, when I lived down in Bristol, Tennessee, he lived a couple miles from me. So he, from that point on, every time I saw him, Ben, when you come ride a motorcycle, I'm like, Jerry, I'm not entering that Harley in a class again. It's like terrible. It's mm-hmm. no fun. It's actually embarrassing. he's laughing and laughing. So we had these street nights, and, you know, like I said, I was working at the drag strip, so I'm working these street nights, and, you know, the just street cars, street bikes come out and have fun. Every time street fights came around, Jerry's like, when you come ride? When? I was like, I'm not doing it. So finally one night he's like, hey, he's like, all right, he's like, come to my trailer after you're done working. He's like, and I just want you to ride my bike down the return road. I was like, all right, fine, I'll appease you. I mean, this guy's nice, you know. I didn't know him as well right then, but I knew he's a nice guy. So get done working, and you know, all I want to do is go drink some beers. I've been working all day. So I go over to Jerry's. I'm like, he's like, jump on this thing. I was like, all right, what I do? He's like, I don't want to burn your clutch up or anything. He's like, just when you get going, just hit the horn button. I'm like, okay, you know, I know nothing.
Yeah.
I was like, why would I hit the horn button? He's like, it's gonna shift gears. I was like, what? He's like, okay, keep talking. He's like, yeah, you hit the button and it's got this. You know, shows me the air shifter set up. And you know, like I said, I know nothing. He's like, it shifts. I was like, I don't have to touch the clutch or nothing. He's like, okay. I went down the return road, you know, just getting up and just bop, bop, and just, you know, grinning ear to ear. I'm like, this shit's cool. So I come back and he sees me smiling. He's like, all right. He's like, you going to come race this weekend? I was like, nah, I mean, Jerry, that was fun. I was like, but, you know, I'm not going to take your bike and race. He's like, no, I got a couple bikes. I'm like, what? I was like, you got a couple bikes. So Jerry had like three or four ZX14s in his garage. So I can go on, but the rest is history. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went to the track the very next weekend with Jerry. We did a test and tune. He shows up with a motorcycle. I called him the week before. I was like, Jerry, I don't have any leathers. All I got is a helmet. Oh, I got leathers. You don't need to do anything. Just show up. All right, so I show up. I'm running in Jerry's bike, running his leathers, and he's letting me tear up his bike. So, I mean, we made a couple test passes, and he showed me what to do and was telling me, and I don't know. I guess I caught on decent enough, so I started racing. That was probably about middle of the year for the race season. I raced his bike the rest of the year. That winter, I bought a used Gen 1 Hayabusa for like $3,500. Old man had it and toured on it. It had a center stand, saddlebags, and 40,000 miles. And that was my bike, and we built it in Jerry Turner's basement, and it had 100% used parts. When I was done with it, I mean, I think I had $6,500 in it. I mean, you know, and back then, I mean, I don't have a lot of money now by any means, but, you know, back then, you know, it was tight. You know, I wasn't making any money when back then.
Yeah.
So we pieced it together, and I rode that thing on the racetrack, like a lot of people had done. You know, I rode it to the racetrack and, you know, got better, and, you know, it kind of reminds me of listening to Dustin's story. You know, just start racing, and I fell in love with motorcycle racing. You know, years earlier, I said, those guys are crazy, and I fell in love with it. And at the time, it was way cheaper than car racing. You know, yeah. I didn't have to have a trailer. I didn't have to have the upkeep of the cars. I mean, you know, rear slicks are, I don't even know what they are now, $1,500, $2,000 a set. I mean, you know, you buy a motorcycle tire for $140 and run it all year.
Yeah.
So it was way cheaper. So that's kind of between Jerry Turner and the feasibility, that's what got me in the door. And like I said, I'd ride that thing on track. And, you know, I won a couple races. I'm trying to think. That was a long time ago, it feels like. I don't know if the first year I won a championship or not. I don't know. It was either the first year. It might have been the first full year on my bike that Jerry helped me build. I think it was. It came down to the final race. I think it was me and Jerry, and I think I somehow won the championship. If not, he might have beat me that year. Maybe the next year I won it. It's all blurred together. But that's kind of how it started. And then, you know, like I said, the rest is history. You know, next thing you know, you're putting new parts on the bike, and then I buy a 6x12 trailer, and then you get another bike, and then, you know, it just spirals out of control. And
you think it's, I mean, and I know in racing we get a lot of that. I mean, it's, I get influences from different, but with Jerry, because Dustin's already mentioned him, to me it's people like him that he saw something. He could, like, he called the time for Dustin. So he had that understanding, but he clearly saw something in you. He's like, okay, I need to get him on the bike, but he was persistent about
it. Jerry is one of those types of guys that he's genuinely, and people say this a lot, you know. I mean, you hear people like, oh, that person's the nicest person I know, but literally Jerry is one of the kindest, nicest people I've ever met. I mean, he'll do anything for you. And his love for the sport is so much that I think it's like he feels it's his duty to try and bring new people into it. And, yeah. You know, he had these extra bikes, and he just loves seeing people ride motorcycles. And honestly, it you know, helps grow the class too. So I think there was, you know, like I said, he's just a great guy, and I think he wanted to get more people involved and see more bikes. And, you know, he got us addicted to the crack or whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's bad. So no, I mean, he's a great guy, and yeah, I mean, Jerry's probably done that to many people. I mean, you know, throughout the years. So, well, I mean, I know another good buddy of him. We call him Dollar. Shout out to Dollar. It's $2. My buddy, I mean, he rides Jerry's bikes. Jerry's a team owner, So.
He's definitely contributed to sport in many ways.
And Jerry's kind of, he reminds me of Marion too. Sometimes I ask Marion, are you making any money? Like, you love this stuff so, Marion's all about getting people in the sport too. Yeah. He's always trying to help somebody out. So it's kind of like that. But that's the short of me getting into the sport. You know, I started racing a lot. I mean, there's a couple of years that, I mean, I just burnt myself out from racing. But, I got better. And like I said, I'll tell anybody. It's funny because I'm racing Real Street now. And I'll tell anybody, I'm not a great rider. I'd say I'm an average rider, but okay, I'm a great racer. But, you know, those are two different things. Like, I understand racing and bracket racing and even just heads-up racing, but I'm not a great rider.
No.
So, or at least that's what I think. I'm an average rider.
Yeah. And you're doing something you love, and that's what matters.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You're definitely enjoying it.
Well, now I'm in the class that you should be a really good rider, so. kind of jumped in with the sharks there.
Oh, yeah, the people you're up against, just unbelievable class. Yeah,
those guys and girls. There's girls there, too. Yeah. So it's a real streets of riders class for sure. So
yeah.
I struggle, but it's fun. It's a challenge. That's what's cool about that class. It's like super stock. I mean, it's a challenge. It's, you know, I'm so used to bracket race. I love bracket race. I'm going to build me a new bike this winter probably to come back out. But, bracket racing, let off a button, go down the track, throw a clutch lever, go down the track. I mean, it's advanced now. So
now, I've obviously, we've known each other for a while now.
Oh, yeah.
So I've taken more than one picture of you.
8 years, maybe. So,
yeah.
Maybe more.
Yeah, probably about 8 years.
Yeah.
Now, one of my fascination with the sport is the stories. I like people that are passionate about what they're doing. So, and then the stories that unfold. Now, I've got many stories I've personally liked. Sometimes it's just the way somebody recovers from a wreck. But in your particular case, we were in Maryland, and we talked about this previously, so he knows this is coming.
We were in Maryland, so I had like flashbacks.
Yeah, and he had a problem with his motorcycle braking, but it's the story that leads to it, and the support that a person gets that can lead you to success. So let's get that one on audio, so we have that one saved, because this is one of my favorite stories. Because I even ran back to your trailer. Three quarters of your trailer was loaded, and I had you do a video. Your brother standing behind you.
Yeah, okay,
it's still
that
on Facebook somewhere.
I remember that one. Yeah.
But I want to make sure we get that one again on audio, because it's one of my personal favorites.
Well, I was trying to think, JT, you're talking about my bike breaking and other people helping fix it. I was like, that's happened numerous times. So I was trying to think that specific, but I remember what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Man, I'll tell you what. I mean, every people that race, they know this. Like, you create friendships that become family, and I mean, it's just such a tight bond. Like, I mean, there's no other way to explain it than if you're a racer and you know. So, you know, here I got my family, my racetrack family, and they're, you know, Dustin, Spencer, those guys. Something's wrong with them. I mean, they just won't stop. You know, they want to fix it. I think they like fixing stuff, especially Spencer. I mean, we could go on and on about that, but he likes fixing shit. So, but I'm a little bit opposite. You know, I don't mind hanging out in my garage on my time and leisurely working on stuff.
Okay.
I'm not a racetrack fixer, though. In fact, if I'm at the racetrack and my stuff breaks, I just assume go get a case of beer and start drinking. Well, shouldn't say go because I usually have beer, but I go get a second case of beer because I'm going to drink a lot. But and that's usually, you know, my motto. Those sons of guns. They aggravate me sometimes. I love them to death, but there's been so many times. That was one of the times. I mean, I don't even remember what was wrong with the bike, but I'm having trouble with my bracket bike, and I can't figure it out. It's not running. I'm getting frustrated. I was over. You know, I was like, I'm not going to be so frustrated and just not have a good time. So I was like, I'm over it. I'm going to get the beer. I'm going to get more alcohol. We're going to have fun. They wouldn't leave it alone. So they kept badgering and working. I mean, they're working on stuff. I just gave up. And sure as can be, they fixed my bike. I mean, they're sharp, so they fixed it. And that's not the only time. I mean, that's happened. There's a picture. I don't think you took it, but it's from like Atco, New Jersey. Maybe you did. But I mean, there's me, Doug Gall, I think Crow Teasley, maybe Jeremy. I mean, there's like five of us looking at my motorcycle like half apart. And there, I mean, even people that, you know, are fierce competitors with, I mean, they're trying to fix your shit. So it's just crazy how much people want to help and get you going down the track. And then, you know, like I said, then you're racing them the next thing you know, and you're trying to cut each other's heads off. So,
well, what's cool though is that they just were adamant and kept at it, and then you ended up winning one class.
Oh yeah.
And then you got the semifinals and top sportsman.
That sounds about right. And, back in the day, I was a decent bracket racer.
But it's a great story because it really, I mean, it's.
They did the same thing last year. End of the year last year, you know, it was three races, but whatever. We're at the last Maryland race, mm-hmm. and I blew my Real Street bike up and qualified. And I didn't have a spare motor or anything. And I hardly had any spare parts. And I'm like, I'm done. And I'm fine. It's good. I had a good first year in Real Street. I raced Real Street like maybe 6 years ago.
Okay.
Low budget. I did all right. I was happy then. But I always said, if I can come back, I'm going to come back 1 year and, you know, spend a little bit more money and try and be competitive. So that was, to me, it was kind of like a first year back. But I did race it like 6 years ago for a year. So anyways, I'm like, I had a great, you know, first year. You know, won the first race, went fast. You know, I'm happy. So I'm like, I'm only get some more beer, guys. And they're like, no, we're going to pull the motor out. And like I said, Eric built that bike. I've built most of my bikes in my life, but Eric 100% built that. I've never had the motor out. That bike's so unique, I didn't know how to take some of the stuff off. I mean, it's got a blower on it, you know. Sounds dumb, but I literally didn't know. I mean, they wouldn't leave it alone. I was like, I'm just going to go get drunk. Cheer y'all on. I'll be ultimate pit bitch. I'll not be a pit bitch. Might wreck the scooter, but it'll be fun. And they wouldn't. I mean, next thing I know, Spencer, Dustin, and Scott, Spencer's dad, they're in my trailer, and they wouldn't take no for an answer. Literally, I'm telling them no. I was like, don't make a grenade go off my trailer. I'm not going to say it. I was going to say a bad one, but it was a freaking bomb in my trailer when they got done. But the motor was out in an hour and a half, and we almost found everything we needed from everybody. You know, like I said, all the racers wanted help. We almost found from probably five different people all over the track everything we needed, but we were like one part short. So we gave it a valiant effort, and then I had to clean up my trailer. It was a mess. They're relentless.
Now, your brother, when you and your brother go up against each other, son. Is that an enjoy when you beat each other? Do you get to pick on each other, or is it that type of brotherly thing?
So, I think
you get a little bragging right until he beats you the next time.
We're never too hard on each other, and we're not like me and Spencer and Dustin and those type of guys. We really try and remember and rag on each other when we beat you. Me and Steven, we're not. We don't really hold it against each other, but I will say I'll talk some bad shit to him before we're racing. I'll tell him I'm gonna wear him out or whatever, and do this and that. And, you know, I think it used to be that I could talk that shit and back it up, but I wouldn't want to race him now. I honestly think he's a better bracket racer than I am. He just doesn't race as much as I. He's never raced as much as I did. And Dustin's a testament to anybody. I mean, I think to be a truly really good bracket racer, you have to race a lot. Yeah. I mean, you got to race almost every weekend to really be that top echelon. I mean, Dustin's shown it. I mean, back when I was running for Banff, you know, I was racing almost every weekend or every other weekend at least. And, I felt like I was at the top of my game then. But I tried it last year. I went to NHGRO for a couple of those big money races. And, you know, all I was running was Real Street, so I hadn't been on a bracket bike all year. I got my ass kicked. I mean, like I said, I'm just a big believer. If you want to be a good bracket racer, you know, you gotta stay on it. You got to ride the bike. Because, you know, you gotta judge the finish line.
Okay.
And I feel like you can remember how to cut a light, you know, cut the tree down, you know, you kind of have your spots and stuff, but hopefully we're not getting too in deep, but I feel like most people are going to listen to this. They understand the drag racing, brag racing. So, you know, but I feel like to really be able to judge this finish line, it's a repetitive thing. You got to get used to it and see it happen. And so, like, you know, I went to Indy and just, you know, I might have cut some good lights and just, you know, take 07 stripe or some shit, like, which is terrible, by the way. That's bad. Like, should be taking 01, 02. But so, yeah, kind of off track there. But yeah, Steven's a great racer. We're not too bad on each other anymore when we race. We like to beat each other, but, you know, it's all good. I mean, it's funny because Steven's older than me. Most people don't think he is because I look old as shit, got gray hair and stuff. And I always tell everybody Steven's smarter and better looking, but I got more common sense. So we got some trade-offs. But everybody thinks he's younger than me. He's older than me. Yeah, but it's so weird to mentor your brother who's older than you in something. And that's kind of what I did in drag racing, you know. And I've been rough on him before. He'll tell you I've been an asshole because I get in my zone too. And, you know, I love him to death, but sometimes he's not as mechanically inclined as I am, you know, so, like, he'll be asking me stuff, and I'm trying to work on my stuff, so I'll get frustrated. So I've been rough on him, but, you know, I help him out as much as I can. I'll do anything for him, so, yeah, it's just one of those rare situations, I feel like. Maybe that's happened sometimes in people's lives, but, like, I've kind of mentored him in drag race. I feel like it, at least. But he's good, man. He's hung out with me, Dustin, Spencer, all of us too much. Boo. I mean, he picks up. He's like Jimmy Miller. We call Jimmy Miller the squirrel because he'd be hanging around with us all these years, and he'd be squirreling information away, like stowing it. And then next thing you know, you race Jimmy, and some bitch beats you the same way you were talking about beating somebody else. And you're like, man. So Steven Sharp, I wouldn't bet against him. He's a good racer. I think he's a better bracket racer than I am. So
it's good stuff. Now, what does Ben do when he's not racing?
Oh, wow. I mean, I do a bunch of different stuff. I have a small marketing business, which is basically me. I do some subcontracting with some people, or with a couple of people, but it's basically me, some marketing. I focus mainly on, like, social media marketing, which JT is super familiar with. Do a little bit of website building. I'm not that great at that either, but mainly I work with actually people in the industry, because that's what I know. So got some industry clients, and I don't know, they keep saying I'm doing a good job, so we keep working together. But also work for my dad's business, do all the bookkeeping, accounting, pay the bills, do payroll every week, pay the taxes. So it's a family business. We do communications work there. I mean, I'll do anything. I've been part-time driving a tractor trailer lately for a buddy of mine I went to high school with. He started up a business, and I have my CDL, so I've been driving about once a week. And if I ever fall off the map, it's because I've been hauling beer. So if one week I just fall off, it's because I took, 40,000 pounds of beer and just went by myself somewhere and drank it all. So now I kind of do two or three different things usually on the regular, but kind of staples are the marketing and my dad's communications business. So keeps me busy.
And that's Night Marketing?
Yep, Night Marketing Group. Like I said, we got some clients. Schnitz Racing, which JT's also involved with, Montgomery Motorsports, Energy Coil, Full Spectrum Power. Do a lot of work with those companies. And a few others that aren't even in the racing industry, but do work with them, and it's good. It's good.
Now, I won't keep him too much longer because he is busy. He's got...
Yeah, I'm trying to go 490s in the 8th mile.
So he was busy this morning, so I do appreciate your time today with me, Ben. And
well, thanks for having us, or having me. I don't know why I said us, but hopefully I didn't ramble too much.
No.
We'll have to get together. We got plenty more stories to tell. Gosh.
Oh, there's a ton of them, ain't it? So, but that's a good thing about this is it's not about one conversation. It's about let's get the intro one done. And then we're going to have some more because as the season unfolds, because we know he's either going to be close to the winner's circle or in it, because that's just the way you race.
Well, I'm going to try. I mean, Real Street, like I said, is a tough class. It's nothing like bracket racing, but we're going to give it a good effort. And, I just want to shout out everybody in the media that makes us look good. JT is going out of his way. This podcast stuff is cool. It makes us feel famous. Always taking the photos. Everybody loves photos and the write-ups, so... It's cool to get that recognition, and you guys don't get enough thanks and recognition, so thank you for that. And I haven't listened to all the podcasts yet, but I did listen to Dustin's. I told you I would drive down yesterday, and man, I called him up afterwards. I told you, I was like, maybe it was because it was so close to me, and it was almost like us telling old stories.
Yeah.
Damn, that hit home. That was a cool podcast. A lot of he choked me up a little bit there at the one point because, man, Banff got rough there for a while, and he said it, man. We were... I mean, that's one of my damn good friends. I mean, that's one of my best friends, and we were damn near fist fighting there for the mud here. I mean, it was rough. It was rough. And like he said, he told you the whole New Jersey story, and I told him, I said, I've listened to the podcast. I told him yesterday, I said, dude, I have my phone in the hand because you started telling some stuff. I was like, I'm going to call you out. I was like, I'm going to call him right now. This shit ain't right, but he told it all right, and that New Jersey, New York story he was telling, I called him up, and I said, you want to come up to Mike's in the Valley? No, I'm not coming. So come on, you keep saying it's easy pickings up there. That's why I win. I was like, come on up. I was like, you're gonna drive by my house. Just drive to my house in Virginia, and we'll ride together. Okay. I was like, I'll cover it. No, I'm not coming. And y'all know the rest of the story if you listen to that podcast. He ended up coming on his own because he wanted to quote unquote surprise me.
Yeah.
So, but we talked about that. It's all good now. We love it. Like I said, Dustin helped me. Set up my chassis last night, and now I'm back in the game. So
outstanding.
Getting ready to go make another pass and see what we can do. So thanks, JT.
All right, sir. Thank you so much. Midnight, Night Marketing Group, and I'm honored to know you, honored to be your friend. And we're going to keep an eye on you, but we're definitely going to come back and talk to him again later on.
We got more stories. I'm a rambler.
All right. Thank you all for listening. We shall return. JT, I'm out, but I'll be back.